You're listening to the Worcester Observer podcast because you have impeccable taste.
Hello and welcome to the Worcester Observer podcast. I'm your host, Rob George. Joining me is Claire. We're on polling day. Yes, the day has reached us at last. Thursday, December the 12th. Voting has begun. It is to show how real time this is, it's 2:57 as we record this. So I'm just going to put that out because we're going to get this out really quick and show how super Claire is with her editing. It's 2:57 on polling day. It's raining and it's going to be dark in an hour, but people are still voting.
I know. The town, it's supposed to be really good, isn't it? There's queues all over London. And here, there and everywhere. Yeah,
but
amazing.
Here's the thing with that. There's queues everywhere. Isn't it not because people don't want to vote in the dark?
Probably.
That's
a good point.
Just going earlier.
I didn't think about that. I went at 7 o'clock this morning with my dad. I was first in, I think.
But then the bed was just so warm this morning. I just thought, oh, I've got the morning off after I've seen my little boy and his performance. So I'll go after that. Because I normally like going the first one because then you get a canvasser. I usually go, excuse me, sir, can I ask how you voted? And I'll be, if it's from a party that I didn't vote for, I'll be delighted to say that I didn't vote for you, but there was no one there.
No one there either with me.
But yes, polling, it is polling day. Voting has started on the third general election in just 4 years, which is ironic when you understand that David Cameron, one of his first acts as Prime Minister back in the dim and distant past of 2011, was to introduce a fixed-term Parliament Act, which set the date of the next election.
It does seem so long ago since Cameron, doesn't it? It seems like about 10 years.
We've had three Prime Ministers. Politics is ageing us all, I think.
I know.
One thing is about politics is to expect the unexpected and to get a tip off that Jeremy Corbyn is coming to Worcester is one thing. To get to Monday and do Christmas shopping, my son doesn't listen to this, so we did the Christmas shopping for our little boy on Monday morning. I was still emailing the Labour Party saying, well, what's going on? Is Jeremy Corbyn coming to Worcester or not? Well, you've seen it all and it's on the front page of the Worcester Observer from yesterday and you can read it online today. He turned up. He turned up at the Crossroad car park, bizarrely, more than an hour and a half late because he was coming from Stroud and stuck on the M5. But despite that, more than 1,000 people were on that car park to hear him speak. Now, whatever you think about him, and I've made my criticisms very clear of him, he does thrive on that sort of environment. Crowds, a chance, walk on a stage, give a speech, get in the car, go.
Right, yeah.
It's very in the raw. It's very politics in the raw. And he excels at it.
I think all the leaders do, because I don't think you become a leader unless you're good at that crowd rallying. I mean, even Jo Swinson, she's pretty good at it, isn't she? I mean, I don't particularly warm to her sometimes. But in a live... Or with a live audience, apparently she's amazing.
Yeah.
And Boris is obviously amazing with a live audience. But I think you have to have that charisma, don't you?
I think you do.
Get to be party
leader. It seems different with him. It just seems, actually, he'd much prefer to do that than these arranged meetings. You know, the visits to a manufacturing company or something.
Yeah.
He'd like to get out, speak to the people and go
again.
Sure,
yeah.
And it was a fascinating evening. It was freezing cold. So if you do read it, if you have any complaints, please know that I was suffering with hypothermia by the end of that. But it was worthwhile. It was certainly worthwhile going. A big thanks to Hassan Karim as well, who generously donated his picture that we've used online and also in the paper as well, and to the Labour Party press office for sending us a link.
Who's the woman in the picture on the front page? Doesn't she look like the woman who's from Birmingham and deflected, though?
No.
Was she German?
No, that is Councillor Lynn Denham, Labour's candidate for the city, who is bidding to be elected MP today.
Oh, that is Lynn Denham.
That is Lynn Denham.
It looks like the Birmingham...
Gisela Stewart.
Yes, it looks a little bit like her. Yeah, confusing.
She's not standing, but I think for the record I should point out she didn't defect. She was a Labour MP until she stood down.
Right.
But she worked with Boris Johnson on the Leave campaign.
Right, okay.
Just for the sake of accuracy.
You know me. I get half a story and then run away with it.
An interesting, because we were very much told, oh, it's going to be a flying visit. He's literally going to come speak. You can hear the stump speech, but then he's going to get on the battle bus and go. that changed somewhat, despite the fact that he was an hour and a half late, to get by the battle bus and you'll go on the battle bus and you've got a couple of minutes with him to actually speak to him.
Oh, did you actually talk to him?
Yep. Manna from heaven.
Right, okay.
It was absolutely terrific, which then changed again because the coach driver told the Labour Party press people on the ground, well, we've been on the M5 so long, I've run out of petrol. So you had the sign of the battle bus inching its way back out of the car park, leaving its leader behind to go and get some petrol.
Oh, my goodness.
So they had to go and refuel it at a station that accommodated these big, massive battle buses.
Did you manage to get out of him what Piers Morgan and all the others haven't been able to, what his view is, whether he's going to campaign to leave or remain?
He described himself, and I should credit the BBC, because the BBC went first and it was a pulled interview, but the BBC answered questions first. So I should credit Tom Edwards of the BBC, who asked him about the Brexit strategy. And he described himself as an honest broker. He said the country is too divided. If he was elected Prime Minister tomorrow, tonight into tomorrow, he would act as an honest broker, that he wouldn't come down on either side, but he would implement a second referendum, which is Labour Party policy, but he would implement the result of whatever that referendum.
And what if it was exactly the same as the last time? Would he honour it?
Yes, he's described himself as an honest broker.
So the second time he would honour it, but the first time he won't honour it?
I think the first thing is that he just wants politics, and I think if it was the other way around, if Labour had a referendum, I think the Conservatives would say, well, we won't honour your vote because we want it to be our vote. That's just silly little party politics.
I don't think so. I don't think that's ever, ever happened before, ever in the history
of
politics.
But he describes himself as an honest broker and says he would remain neutral and would implement whatever the country decided. My views on a second referendum are clear. You can't have one until you've put the result of the first one in place. But that's Labour's policy. He seems very comfortable with it, and I guess tonight will tell us in Labour leave areas if Labour leave voters in the north of England are comfortable
with
it.
And of course Worcester is a big target for them, isn't it?
It is a massive target for them. Of course, a history lesson that I've bored everybody that I know this week with this stat, so I'll bore you all as well. Worcester has always elected the party that forms the government since it was a constituency. Whoever wins in Worcester wins the country.
Wow.
So if these times are very, very different, so I'm not saying that this is going to happen, but we live in very odd times at the moment, but it might be an indication. Certainly the feeling amongst all the parties, actually, everybody's got some sort of confidence. The Conservatives, I've been speaking to Conservatives and to Labour, and to the Liberal Democrats even. They're all saying they're getting a lot of good response on the doorstep. They all could be telling the truth, but ultimately somebody is going to be disappointed. There can only be one winner. But I think it was interesting that Corbyn chose Monday to come to Worcester, the Monday of the final week of election campaigning. He came at the start of the campaign in 2017, which was interesting because there was a long way to go. Whereas he came at the end, which suggests to me that the last week of campaigning, I think the parties look at where do we want to succeed.
Right.
Because one of the last things people are talking about, oh, he was in insert place here. Then same with the Conservatives. You've seen Boris Johnson in seats that the Conservatives want to pick up today and would probably need to pick up today.
Has Boris been to Worcester?
No.
What about Jo Swinson?
Nope.
No, so
Jeremy Corbyn is the only. I said like John Burke. Jeremy Corbyn.
I think Boris was in Malvern, wasn't he, a couple of weeks ago?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, but he went to see something like a brewery or something.
Right.
Yeah, in Malvern, but
he certainly hasn't been in Worcester.
No,
which I think is a shame. And we're talking as polls are live, and as I said, we're going to get this out for you before polls close. So I'm being very careful what I'm saying because I'm conscious that you may still be voting and you would be, so we don't want to come down
Laura
either way. Laura
Koonsberg got in a lot of trouble yesterday, apparently, because she said live on air about the postal vote being a disaster for one party. We won't repeat it because we don't want to get into trouble at all. But she did. That's a little bit unprofessional of her, isn't
it?
It's
a little bit, but I would say postal votes aren't everything.
No.
The proportion of people still going to the polling station voting outweighs postal votes. So if postal votes are looking bad for a party, that doesn't mean it's the end.
No, of course. But it just seemed a little bit bad for her to do that live on air.
But I feel in this campaign, and this is very much, we're marking our own homework here, and I'm going to temper my views because I have made I have put comment into the Evesham Observer tomorrow, and I don't necessarily want to do it all here. But I feel this has been not the greatest campaign in terms of the parties getting their message out. And I will include all of them there. I'm not going to come down on one side or another. But also there are elements of the media that I don't think have done the job to the best of their ability. And I think I'll probably stop there before I get into any sort of trouble.
No, I think you're saying what a lot of people are thinking and have been saying themselves in the media. I think you're right. I think you've obviously been doing a fantastic job in the Worcester and Malvern and Evesham Observers. But
she flatters me, dear listener. She flatters me.
But I do think the general consensus is I think the media has become so one-sided, you know, one or the other. They've been taking sides, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, it's always been the case. I mean, you wouldn't find certain newspapers supporting another party. They'll always be leaning, and they've always leant that way, which is fine. But the veracity of the attacks to the other side is, it's really gone a little bit too much for me.
I tell you who I really don't like, but I admire him, is that Andrew Marr. Andrew Neil, because I think he is a bulldog, isn't he, in the interview room. But I still don't know which way he votes.
No.
He's horribly mean to them all, but he's brilliant. He gets the answers out but I still don't know which way. And I think that is what a national journalist should be like.
But I tweeted, and if you go to Rob George 1, you'll find the tweet I did, and it got retweeted by Andrew Neil himself.
Oh, fantastic. What did you say?
I'm not going to go down the route because it's party political of what I said. It's my opinion, but again, I'm conscious the polls are open and we are on polling day, so I may come back to it next week if we're talking about the aftermath. So I won't talk about the content because I'm very mindful that we're going to stick this out for you today. But I tweeted something, and I did actually... He did actually make a very good point. The Prime Minister of this country, whoever it will be, will need to stand up to President Trump, to Putin, to President Xi of China. You know, they should go and face interrogation. Because it's not the worst interrogation. You know, it's not like he's been, you know, waterboarded or anything like that. Not that we condone that, obviously. But... it's just what political campaigning should be. You've put a manifesto out. You've put this vision to the country. Come on and defend it. Mm. Say where everything is. Everybody criticised Corbyn's interview.
But Corbyn's interview was a car crash. I mean, I'd have seen that interview, I would have thought, if I was Boris or Joe Swinson or Farage or anyone, I probably would have chickened out as well, because you'll get massive criticism from chickening out, but you'll get much worse criticism from actually going because he was just, Corbyn's interview just made me shudder. I actually felt sorry for him.
It wasn't great, and plenty have fallen apart at the feet of the great man, or Brillo himself. But we'll probably reflect on this after, we'll have so much to talk about from...
So you're actually going to the count in Worcester tonight?
Yes, we're going to give you a programming note. I will be there from... I'm not going to be there from 10 because I'm going to watch my team in the Europa League, and that finishes about 5 to 10, so I'll set off after that.
And what do you... I know you spoke about it briefly last week, but it is interesting stuff. So you'll go along and you'll see the actual ballot boxes come in,
We'll see the ballot boxes arrive, all being well, and try not to get it in the way of the often burly people that are hauling them upstairs very quickly. I mean, Worcester doesn't... He doesn't seek to compete with Sunderland. Is it Sunderland North?
They're always first, aren't they, for some reason?
They haven't got it down to, like, you know, Olympic sprinters handing the ballot boxes over. Mm. But, yeah, the ballot boxes will be arriving between 10, half past 10. I know we've had so many general elections. I think it was the 2015 one. There was a real, real panic because a van with ballot boxes went missing.
Oh, my goodness. Where was it?
And it turns out it just hadn't left and it was stuck in Worcester's traffic.
Oh, wow.
But for about 10 minutes, it was like, there's ballot boxes missing. And it was just like, no, it was just stuck in the traffic. So let's hope nothing like that happens after the polls close this evening. Then there'll be verification where all the boxes will be checked in so that make sure the returning officer will make sure all the ballot boxes for the city are in by a certain time. All the ballot boxes will then be opened. Postal votes will be added to the pile or put in the area that sorted by area so that they can be added onto the count. So verification will take place 11 p.m. till about 1 a.m. It's a 2-hour process because they're weeding out ballot papers. And I will make this point because we are going to stick this out live, as I keep saying. If you are going to vote this evening, I know there's a lot of anger from all sides of the debate. I know there is. And I know if you've wanted Brexit, you feel let down and angry. I know if you're on the Remain side, you feel let down and angry. Not voting or spoiling your ballot paper is going to change the square root of NAFL. Because if you spoil your ballot paper, what's going to happen tonight is that a volunteer is going to look at it, get it checked that it's spoiled, and it's going to be put to one side.
And thrown in the bin.
Your vote won't count.
Yeah.
And if you don't vote, your vote won't count. And if the party you want doesn't get in by 100 or so votes, how guilty are you going to feel?
What is a spoilt ballot paper? Is that when they're outside the box or is it when they scribble
anything
something?
Anything that isn't a cross in a box.
What if it's a tick in a box?
That can be, it's up to the returning officer.
Oh, okay.
But it's very clear on your ballot paper. Before we started recording, we've both said we voted. But it's very clear on your ballot paper, it's a cross in a box. But people have written messages on there of a derogatory nature. People quite rightfully, some people have written none of the above on it. And to be honest, the Australian system where you have to vote by law, but there is an option at the bottom to cross none of the above. I think in terms of electoral reform, we should go that way.
Right, yeah.
Because I think we'll get a clear indication of how bad our politics is if none of the above happens to win a constituency.
I kind of like the way in Britain we do vote for our local MP. It's not like America where we're voting for
president.
Yeah. Even though we're going to the ballot today and we're thinking in our heads Trump or Corbyn, Trump, Boris. I'm thinking American now, Boris or
the
Swinton.
The British Trump,
or
some may say.
But yeah, we're not voting.
It causes a dilemma because you have so many constituents MPs that are very popular, but then the national leader is quite divisive.
But surely
has been going back years. Yeah, this isn't the current
centuries,
crop.
Isn't it?
Centuries, you know, people that going back, into the 70s when Thatcher was first elected, she came across, she might not have been popular, but people had a local Conservative MP and went, oh, I do like the work they do in the constituency.
But doesn't it kind of hold them to account when they have that regionality?
It does. I think I would much prefer it this way, and I would sooner, one of the first things I want to see from a Prime Minister, hopefully one party wins a majority and we can start looking forward to, actually governing again. But one of the things I would like to see is this Fixed Term Parliament Act repealed immediately. And we should embrace the tradition again of when the Prime Minister wants to go to the country, he goes to Buckingham Palace and asks for the Queen's permission. Wasting time in Parliament saying, we need a 2-thirds majority to trigger the Fixed Term Parliament Act. It's never been a problem. If you're confident in your ability, go after 4 years. Or either that, or get to a point where you say, an election has to be called every 4 years.
We're in an impasse or something.
The American system seems to work. A president has to go back to the country every 4 years.
Yeah.
We've always had this convention that it's been every 5 years. I don't like the Fixed Term Parliament Act. I don't like the notion that, to get round it, you need a parliamentary vote. That's just more bureaucracy and it's just more voting and more politics. It's in the gift of the Prime Minister. If you've won the support of the country, then you should be able to say, right, based on that, I should be able to declare when the next general election should be. Yes, it's deeply political.
I agree with you, though. No, I think that's a good idea.
It's deeply political, but has it ever produced any controversy before the Fixed Term Parliament Act? No.
Absolutely. You mentioned the Queen just now. Do the Queen and the royal family, do they get a vote?
I don't know.
That's one of the only questions I've ever asked you that you haven't had the answer for, no, Rob. You normally know everything no. like that.
I like to think she does.
Yeah.
I like to think she's modern and does it by post or something.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine. Imagine you walk. The Queen walks into a polling station and your name, please. Just like, you know.
Yeah.
She is very apolitical, as far as I can gather. She welcomes any Prime Minister if the Prime Minister has won the support of the country. You know, she will. You know, the convention will be that whoever wins this evening, if somebody wins, we must say that because the possibility, as YouGov stated, the possibility of a hung parliament cannot be ruled out. If somebody wins, a Prime Minister will go. The Prime Minister in waiting will go to Buckingham Palace and will ask the Queen's permission to form a government.
I've been watching The Crown. Have you watched it?
No, but I'm beginning to think I've really got to start binging it.
You have to. You have to watch it. But, yeah, at the moment I'm on, it's in the sort of 70s. And yeah, so the Labour, is it Wilson? He's coming in and talking to her. And you can tell that she doesn't like him at the start. But she actually warns her. And she's such, I love the Queen. And I know that it's a TV show. But it's making me love her even more.
But it's supposed to be very close.
Yeah, apparently.
I've been reading people saying, whoa, hang on, how have you got that?
Yeah.
Spot on.
Well, who did we interview? We interviewed someone on our Brits in the Web podcast, and they knew Prince Andrew, and they were saying that, they knew Sophie, Rhys Jones, and they were saying that Sophie and Andrew go to the Queen's residence and make them watch it. This wasn't series three, but series two, and she loved it. So, I mean, who was that? It was somebody we had on our podcast in America, and yeah, they were saying, honestly, I know Sophie. She told me, but how good was that?
It must be baffling for the Queen, because so much has been made about her life, and yet she's still like, well, I'm still living it, you know.
Yeah,
and people. I mean, I must. Helen Mirren won an Oscar for her portrayal in one of the greatest films I've ever seen. It was just superb, and it really humanised the Queen, and it was brilliant. But I often wondered when she... Because is she a dame? Dame Helen. I would often wonder when she was presented with her damehood, how the Queen felt about going... Congratulations, you've basically got famous on that Oscar because of me, but
yeah.
You know.
Well, I tell you what has been a real surprise to me is Princess Margaret, the Queen's sister.
Yes.
I didn't realise what a wild one she was.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, she was like a real partier and liked her drinking and smoking and dancing the night away.
But she was never going to be Queen.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
The Queen was the firstborn. Yeah.
There's always a rebel in every family.
But you look
I think.
At it, the history's repeating itself. William's all the dutiful everything, and Harry's having
I'll
never be king, yeah. So I'm going to live it up a little bit. We love William and Harry, by the way.
I would love to know what their views are on the whole political situation and what they really think, though, wouldn't you?
I would imagine there's a lot of frustration. But anyone that tells you they know what the view is from Buckingham Palace is lying to you, because the only people who know the view at Buckingham Palace is the people who live there.
Exactly.
But I think the Queen Mother always had a great advice. Never. I forget what that line was now. She had a great line about never...
You can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all, that kind of thing.
Oh, I can't remember what it was now, which is really annoying, but great advice. And I think the Queen herself takes that on board and tries to pass it down to her son and certainly to her grandson about just keeping out the limelight, keeping, nothing controversial and just raw. And I think that's why Britain has worked so well with the monarchy, because our monarchy has never been too political.
They have been angels.
And that's why I think Charles has been reined in a little bit now and a little bit like, well, you are going to be king soon, so can you just bring it back a little bit? But I think he'll be more hands-on. But that's not a bad thing.
No, I really, really do like Charles, and I love what he does with all the Duchy of Cornwall and all the organic and the animals. And I've been massively a fan of his for several years. And I'm really glad that they just did that documentary, the series on him, because
I was never a fan for a long while because he was quite sort of standoffish. But I certainly give him the years going by, he's become a very, very, very well-rounded and reasonable person who you get the impression would have a lot of contact with people now. Certainly the BBC interview they did with him last year, he was cracking jokes, but still keeping the regal air.
Yeah.
But I suppose it's something you and I are never going to experience. We're never going to be the heir apparent.
But you never know. Never say never. William might dump Kate and come and find me. You know, I went to school with Kate. I went to school with Kate Middleton. She was in the bottom year when I was in the top year at Marlborough. And
now you drop this in.
I know. So I can't really remember her. I remember her group of girls. She was in the all-girls house and I was in the next house, Summerfield, and she was in Court. And I do remember that group of girls because I was obviously in sixth form and had to look after them, do prep, you know, because it was a boarding school. So obviously I sometimes had to take them for prep and everything. But I can't remember exactly who she was. Because you know when you're like 17, 18, you don't think who the 11, 12-year-olds are.
Not necessarily, no.
Well, but she'd know who I was, of course. This is what I like to think anyway.
Well, yeah, I would hope so. And I'm just thinking pull strings, podcast guests.
Well, one of my best friends' little sisters is still very good friends with her. She even went to the wedding and everything. And she, Zoe always says, she is honestly the nicest girl on the planet. She's just always just been lovely.
Well, she seems that. I mean, all the stuff I'm reading, you know, she goes to Sainsbury's and she sneaks in for like parent, you know, when the moms from the school go out for a meal or something, she's going out with them. I think there's a lot to be angry about in this country. There is a lot to be angry about, but one of the things we should be proud of and defend until our dying day is that we've got a monarchy that I believe in the future is going to become even more in touch with real people.
Hopefully,
I think Charles will continue what the Queen has done. I think the Queen is fantastic. Yes, do I want her to retire and I want her to have some time to herself? Yes, I do, because I think as a nation we owe her that. But if she wishes to go on, as her father said, you know, duty until she passes, then that is her choice. Personally, I think this nation owes such a debt of gratitude that she should have some time to herself. But if she wishes to go on, I'm not going to argue with her.
You've got to watch The Crown. You'll love it.
I think I'm going to binge watch. I'm certainly getting the planner down at home. The last few, now winter's drawn in.
It is the sort of thing you binge watch as well. I was watching it with my parents and we'd be like, oh, just one. Seriously,
yeah,
three episodes later.
Yeah, I'm a nightmare.
It'd be 11 o'clock at night. We'd be like, we've got to go to bed.
Succession was on Sky Atlantic. And I recorded the first series. I was just like, I'm interested. And I never got around to watching it. So about 6 months later, they're all on the planner. I thought, I'll give this a go.
Is Succession the one about the billionaires?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And it's got the...
I've seen the first episode.
Brian.
It looked really good. I saw the very first episode.
Oh, what is his name? Brian Cox, who I think is one of the best British actors in the world. He's terrific. And there was 10 episodes on there. Got the first... So put the first one on about 10:30 at night, got to 11:15, and we're having the next one. I got to bed at 2:15. I'd watched the first four.
Do you know what?
No, I've got to go to bed.
This is why I've never watched Game of Thrones, because I think it will just take 6 months of my life away.
Oh, it will.
Because now haven't they done like 12 series or something?
But now it's on every night throughout December on Sky Atlantic.
Oh, is it?
We had to put it down because there's just too much bloodshed.
Oh.
Like, there was characters that were coming in at episode one, and by the end of episode one, they were like, oh, he's dead. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But I couldn't, Sean Bean was good, and then they killed him straight away, so it was like, oh.
So I've never watched any, but one day, I always think if I'm ever really poorly or something, I'd have to go to hospital, and I'm in, you know, bedridden
for... I'm in touch everything.
I know, bedridden for a few weeks.
Fate is listening, you know, don't strike Paul down this close to Christmas. Days away from Christmas.
That'll be my guilty pleasure of watching Game of Thrones.
Right, we will wrap it up there, because things to do, places to go, people to see, with... Programming note for you, social media tonight, we'll put the podcast link up and we'll give you a reminder, and I'll be on from 10 o'clock. Follow us on Facebook and on Twitter from 10 o'clock tonight. Any gossip I get, I will be passing it on to you.
What sort of gossip quickly can you get though? What can we expect?
Indications of who's up, who's down, who's smiling, who's not.
Oh, really? So you actually tell us all that?
But anything little stories as well, like for the amusing... One amusing anecdote I got from a local election campaign a few years ago, where from a Conservative councillor who got a letter from the Labour Party through thanking her for her support.
Oh.
Don't think it was meant for her, but hopefully let's have interesting bits like that. But the big thing we're going to bring to you that I don't believe anyone will do, and I don't believe the national broadcasters will actually show it you, and I don't believe anyone in the county will broadcast it to you live, Facebook Live. In the wee small hours, if you're still awake, we are going to Facebook Live the declaration. You will see the result as it's read out.
So the declaration is when the final
When the
counts.
Result is read okay. out. You will see it live on Facebook.
And Rob, I know you probably can't give a time in stone, but what sort of time can we expect
It will
that?
Be silly o'clock.
Like 2, 3, 4 in you'd the morning?
Be, look, I would be shocked if it's before 2 a.m., usually Worcester comes in between 2 and 4. So if you've got the caffeine sorted, if you've got the relentless Red Bull all sorted and all the sugar and everything you could wish for, between 2 and 4, but we are going to Facebook Live the declaration for you. So you're going to watch the declaration live. I don't believe you'll see it anywhere else.
And that's fascinating that you've said whatever Worcester votes is normally the party that goes into government. So that could be... That,
history has told us that, but... I think we can both agree we're not living in historical times at the moment. Precedent seems to be being chucked out the window every 5 minutes at the moment. But Facebook Live, we will bring you the declaration. I can't do much about the sound quality. If it's not great, I can't do anything about it because I will be doing it on my phone. Mm. But hopefully there will be a microphone. And I, if I get time, I'll try and do a Facebook Live earlier in the evening as well. And we'll see if you've got any comments, questions or anything that I can answer if I get a bit of time, or I'm a bit bored and I want to talk politics with you.
Oh, well, but we'll can't put all wait.
This on. We will put all this online later, and I will try and do a Facebook Live as I'm walking around. But the problem is the returning officer is a little bit funny about us using our phones. But I'll just make sure his back's turned every time I'm doing it, or I'll try and do it in a side room and talk to you and give you a bit of a insight and a flavour of what's happening. But certainly Facebook Live, and that video then will save onto Facebook. So if you are going to bed, because basically you've had enough of politics, and why wouldn't you after this so much time? It'll be there in the morning so you can watch it, and we will replay it on Facebook. So you can watch the declaration. I don't believe anybody else is offering that, so I think it's a first for The Observer.
Amazing.
We tried it 2 years ago, and it got a real popular response, and a lot of people watched it. I've got to learn that when the candidates assemble, it's not always the declaration, because things have got to be checked, because there was a good about 4 or 5 minutes where nothing happened. So I will try and line it up so when we'll go live as the declaration's about to be there, but it'll be there for you, and I don't believe anyone else is doing that, so we will do that. But until then, we will see you on the other side. I am going to go and drink more energy drinks and more sugar to keep myself awake, because I will not see my bed until it's bright tomorrow morning on Friday the 13th. But who will be in charge of the country? Who'd have won Worcester? There's only one way to find out, worcesterobserver.co.uk. But until next week, from me, Rob George, my thanks to Claire. I think we're done here. Happy voting. Bye-bye.
Bye.